Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There are no Pikachu that you can get in Black and White.
No.
You have to do a Poke Transfer or Dream World. I remember thinking you could not get the mascot in Black and White.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again! Listen to the show with the phone
never ends!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah!
Pucko!
And welcome to the 356th episode of the Pucko Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with none other than the man who dodged the hurricane himself, Gator.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We didn't dodge the last one. This is just karma. You know, you got to spread those things around.
You got to spread it around, right? Yeah.
Sublime could say the same thing, you know?
That's true. Yeah. Somebody asked me if you were underwater. I'm like, no. The hurricane hit South Carolina.
It's completely different state.
I'm just like, he's fine. Like, it didn't hit Florida at all. Florida missed out on this one. I think it was early projections, though. It was supposed to hit Florida.
They're always in the cone of projection. Like, It's the thing about hurricanes. You don't even start to worry about it anymore once you're a Floridian. Like, after your first one, you're like, it's the most inconvenient thing is the power, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You just charge up your power bank beforehand and then just sit and hold tight until the power comes back. And then, of course, we've got none other than the Sublime Manic here today as well. I don't have a good introduction for you today because you're just here all the time.
Oh, am I?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't have a good one for you. I just don't. It's just not going to happen.
I have a great one. You guys know that this is a man who teaches for America. Not just America. I mean, his students in his classroom in particular. Okay? This is somebody that works hard. And for all you children's out there that are still in school, you know, this is guaranteed. You have to listen to Sublime. He's a teacher, so
that's true.
There you go.
He's a teacher.
He says clothes.
Mm-hmm. You gotta teach them kids about the Pokemans.
Them children. We have a lot of teachers on the podcast. Snag, Sublime. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, I was like, Snag. Who else?
I like to think of myself as a teacher.
You're a life teacher. Yeah.
I'm here to give lessons in Pokemon, but also in love. So stay tuned.
I like to think that we teach every week. We teach people about Pokemans, and they get almost better at their Pokemon knowledge, or at least have a good time for an hour and a half while they're listening to this in their car, or an hour because they didn't listen to the mailbag,
or 46 minutes if you're listening to it on 1.5 times speed. Little tip, everybody.
Make us sound
like
chipmunks.
Oh my gosh, fun fact. After Gator suggested listening to podcasts at an accelerated speed, I feel like I listen to substantially more podcasts.
It really works. And like, I'm listening to you guys now, talking to you guys. It sounds so different than what I'm usually listening to you guys. Because most of our interactions with each other are over messaging, and the only time we always get together for voice is when we record. So Everything just sounds slowed down in my brain, and it's really trippy, guys. Just saying.
Well, before we continue, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League. And we talk everything from the video game to the trading card game to even Magikarp Jump, the dead game on iOS and Android that I guess you can play, right? It's still, you can still play it.
You can still download it. They just don't support it anymore. It's abandonware.
It's just nothing new is going to happen. You can level up your Magikarp and jump a lot and wait to eat more berries with your Magikarp and level it up. It's an okay game. If you like hanging out with a fish, it's a really good game. So if you want to do that. But welcome to the show. We have a good time for you guys today. We've got plenty of stuff planned out, a good topic. I'm really excited. I like doing these early morning recordings with you guys like we have been doing lately. I feel energized, I feel happy, and then I realize I have to edit the show for like 3 hours afterwards, but it's okay. So, so without further ado, though, let's go ahead and walk into what's up with you guys and how you've been lately. Because Gator, it's been a while since you've been on the main show.
Yeah, I was on the TCG cast for our last review. It looks like we have another review coming out this week, so stay tuned for that, guys. Talking about the new dragon set that came out, our special set for the TCG. But other than that, I've just been mostly playing Pokemon Go. My boycott is over. The one of the updates fixed my Go Plus.
Oh, did it? I was looking for that because I heard that there was something about the Go Plus not getting fixed, and I was like, oh man, because I have a Go Plus, I just don't use it like I should.
No, it wasn't connecting. It was having connection issues, and then one day I tried it again, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's working. So I'm back to playing.
That's good.
Sending out my gifts. You know, the gym at my work didn't change. So now I can still get, you know, all my gifts sent out and then restock and then send them all out again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I know.
And if you guys are interested in being friends on Pokemon Go, Professor Stag set up a sign-up sheet on our Discord channel. So if you head over to the Discord, you can hang out with us and, you know, find some Pokemon Go friends, especially with that challenge that they have now where you need to add three new friends.
Yeah, you have to add three new friends, and then you have to, I think, you have to send 20 gifts at some point for the Celebi quest, and I think there might be something else where you have to open X number of gifts. So definitely watch out for that.
It behooves you.
Yes, you absolutely should. I mean, gifts are also great because it's like a free Pokestop spin just by opening this. And right now they've got, we should talk about this more in the news, but right now they've got a thing going on. If you get an egg from a gift, it's got a chance to hatch into a regional Pokemon from the Kanto Dex. So you can get Kangaskhan, Farfetch, Tauros, and Mr. Mime from those eggs.
But like a 12.5% chance for any one of those.
Yeah.
Divided by four.
Yes, this is true. But I mean, it can still happen, which is better than nothing.
Except then they added Tangela and something else to the pool. So
yeah.
No, it's BS. Niantic needs to fix it. This is dumb because you've still got all of the Alolan regionals in there too. So you've got Alola region Pokemon, you've got the exclusive regionals, and then you've got the two randos that they threw in. And now you can't pull anything. I have yet to hatch a Kangaskhan, which is the only one I need because I traded Fluffiest for Mr. Mime. I got the Farfetch'd from the other event, and I found a Tauros when I went up to Ohio. So I just need a Kangaskhan. Just give me a Kangaskhan.
I just need Kangaskhan and Farfetch'd. That's all I need. And then I'm
going to have Farfetch'd. Let's trade something next year.
Oh, we should. Or maybe I'll just come down to San Antonio. Right. Is there
true,
a regional?
Come down for PAX South.
Is there a regional happening down in Texas anytime soon? I don't think so.
Not
I think
really. Yeah, they'll be the one in Dallas, but like.
Yeah, that's far away.
Yeah, but you might as well be like in another state.
Yeah, honestly. How about you, Sublime? What you been up to lately?
Let me tell you, this is, remember your semester when you were getting your PhD, that last semester?
Oh yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, that's my life right now. Because it's my last semester of grad school for my master's degree. I have to do an internship of 160 hours on top of everything else I do.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Just let's start with that. I'm in a fellowship that is writing a document that we're presenting to the Texas legislature for some recommendations for education policy. Yeah, I have no time, it feels like. So there's not a lot of Pokemon happening, unfortunately.
Man,
I try to get my catch of the day every day and go. And today will be my 7-day streak. So there's that.
That's good. That's something.
Yeah.
You got that going for you. I've been.
Do you have spawns at your place? Does it make it easier?
Do I have what at my place? I have spawns? A gym across, like, two streets down.
But no spawn points?
No.
Yeah, I've got like two spawn points outside of this apartment, so I can usually get the catch of the day.
That's nice. I mean, if I walk over to the gym, there will be something by it, and that usually works. But
I did catch a wild Snorlax the other day.
Oh, that's
and crazy. A wild Chansey.
Well, that's because that there's the Kanto event going on. My wife told me she just caught like three Chansey the other day.
Snorlax was before the Kanto event. I caught Chansey on Kanto, but before Kanto was Snorlax, so I was pretty excited about that. It's a really bad one. But it's still a Snorlax.
Like, yeah, someone else might want it, you know.
Exactly. Now with trading, and my fiance is living with me now from Japan, so I've spent a lot of time transferring her all the Larvitar I caught on Community Day and getting 3 candy apiece for them.
Yeah.
And it works for her because then she can just burn the Larvitar and get the stuff. But she got 2 lucky Larvitar out of all of the trades.
Yeah, so it's not too bad to get lucky Pokemon. I'm surprised at the frequency they happen. Given the track record of Niantic doing low spawns for some Pokemon and low, like we were talking about, chances with eggs and stuff like that, I'm really surprised with how common lucky Pokemon are. It blows my mind. As for me, I finished my Crystal Nuzlocke finally, so that was nice.
Yay! What was your final team?
That's a good question. I don't remember. There was Typhlosion, because it was fun to use Typhlosion for once. And then there was Umbreon and a Piloswine, because Piloswine's cool. And Earthquake is really hard to get in that game in general. Like, you just get the TM, and then you have to give it to something and pray. Gyarados, and then what else? I don't remember. I remember those 4. So take that.
Well, there you go. And by finish your Crystal Nuzlocke, does that mean you beat the Elite Four? You went all through Kanto as well?
All the way through Kanto.
Oh, wow. That's impressive then.
Yeah, I finished the whole thing, the whole shebang, just to go through and play through the game and get the Celebi and whatnot. Because on the Virtual Console, you can get Celebi. It's the only way to get Shiny Celebi, turns out. You can go and get it through Crystal version on the Virtual Console. $10. Also, if you get it from Amazon, there's like a cool 3DS theme that comes with it. I would suggest people get and send it to me because I didn't buy it on Amazon.
Confusing. How do you get it through Amazon for your Virtual Console?
So pretty much what happens is you go and you buy it on Amazon and then they send you a code.
Okay.
And then you go to the eShop and you type in the code, you download the game. It's because you can go to GameStop and buy these games for Virtual Console as well, and it's stupid.
That is like, then why are you even using the Virtual Console?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's just so your grandma can go and buy you.
Essentially, yeah.
Pokemon Crystal.
Yes, I suppose that works. Hmm.
I noticed that they did. They have like really cool like cards for it too. If you purchase like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon for the eShop, if you go and buy that at a retail location like Target or something, they have like really cool cards that come with it, and it's just, I mean, it looks kind of cool. I wouldn't spend $40 just for the card, but it looks cool, so take that for what it is. Other than that, I mean, I started the new Nuzlocke on Emerald with my fancy Game Boy, and then that's pretty much been my week. I've been working on some other stuff. I've been working a lot on Twitch. I'm going to hopefully get that rolling really high quality soon with Jushiro. And I think Shamu, we finally got Shamu's capture card fixed. So that's going to hopefully start producing some more content. I'm really excited for that. With that, though,
are you expecting it to spontaneously produce content, or is Shamu going to be participating?
Oh, that's a good question. that's a good question. I think Shamu's going to participate. We'll see, though. We'll see. But that's going to be it. We're going to kick it on over, though, guys, to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news In the news, we have several things, and probably the most frustrating experience for all of us who already own a Nintendo Switch is that Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are getting their own special edition Nintendo Switch console. It's like one of the first special edition Nintendo Switches as well. Like, I know we had the Mario Odyssey bundle, which really wasn't that cool. It was just red Joy-Cons. And same with Splatoon. You just got these purple and green Joy-Cons for a Switch. But this one's legitimately a theme system. It's the first one. They're doing it also with Super Smash Brothers, but we're not a Smash Brothers podcast. We're a Pokemon podcast. And you get this sweet dock with a Pikachu and an Eevee on the front. The Switch itself has a bunch of Eevee and Pikachu silhouettes, and you get these cool brown and yellow Joy-Cons that come with wrist straps that make it look like Pikachu and Eevee. It's just fantastic, and I really want those Joy-Cons. They are being sold separately in Japan, and it's just crazy. It's coming with Pokeball Go Plus as well, and also a copy of Let's Go Pikachu or Let's Go Eevee. I think just a download code. They're probably not going to give you a hard copy. And it also comes with a 90-day subscription to the new Nintendo Switch Online service, which we can just gripe about on our own. I understand paying for it, and I'm okay paying for it, but just the fact that they're just like, yeah, it's got all this extra stuff, and it doesn't really. It's whatever. Go you, Nintendo. So, moving on, though, to Pokemon Go. There's so much Pokemon Go news. First of all, is it just like a Kanto Fest going on for the next week or so? Oh, until September 30th.
Yes. Bad. Yeah.
Yes. It's because we also have the legendary birds in the raid, and I believe starting from September 20th, Mewtwo is going to be just a regular raid boss and not a EX raid boss, which is interesting. I did hear that Mewtwo will be weaker, but I mean, who cares? It's still a Mewtwo.
It builds out the deck.
Hyper Beam and Shadow Ball are going to be exclusive to the ones that you caught in the EX raids.
Oh, interesting.
So if your Shadow Ball is like probably the best neutral DPS on Mewtwo, if you want a generalist attacker, so you know, if you don't have the Shadow Ball one, I would be using your charge TMs as fast as possible to snag the Shadow Ball before it's too late.
Interesting.
Hyper Beam sucks, so don't use Hyper Beam.
You're not wrong. And then also, we were talking about this earlier, but you can, from the 7-kilometer eggs from Gifts from Friends, there's a chance to get the regional Pokemon as well. The Kanto regional Pokemon, I should say, until the end of September.
So I got one the other day, so here's hoping.
Here's hoping. I just need a Kangaskhan and a Farfetch, man. That's all I need.
But you know, everyone's going to hatch Taurus. Everyone's going to hatch Taurus.
Oh, no, I guarantee you. I'm like, the first thing that's going to... It's either going to be Taurus or Mr. Mime.
90% of the eggs will be Taurus.
It's going to be Taurus or Mr. Mime. I guarantee you that's going to be one of the things I hatch. It's going to be something that I already have.
Right. It's going to be Tangela.
It's going to be Tangela. Yeah. Why is that in there? I don't even understand.
I don't know either. Like, they could have at least put like a Dratini or a Snorlax or something. Like, something you wouldn't be disappointed to bust the 7K egg open and find. But yeah. A Tangela? Really? It was Tangela and something else. I forget what the other trash one was, but it was another trash Pokemon.
I wonder if it's garbage. I wonder if it's one of the Pokemon that gain an evolution in Gen 4.
Yeah, I actually low-key wouldn't be mad about a Tangela just because I would need a lot of candy for Tangrowth.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm wondering. If they're doing stuff like that, because you get the Gen 1 Pokemon that can evolve later on, and then you end up with enough candy so you can evolve later in Gen 4.
Porygon.
Drops.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Porygon yep. would be... Yeah, Porygon's great. There you go.
There you go.
But that they have a 12.5% hatch rate, so 6.25 for each of those. Mm-hmm. The Alolan Pokemon still have a 75% hatch rate for all six of those.
Oh, no.
So you're like 15% for Sandshrew, Diglett, Meowth, 11.25 for Vulpix and Geodude, and 7.5 for Grimer. But then the regionals is 12.5 for all four of them. Kangaskhan 4%, Tauros 4%, and then 2.25 each for Mime and Farfetch.
That is some hot garbage.
Hot garbage. That's gonna suck. So you
I thought
have to
they
hatch
were
a ton
replacing
of
the Alolans.
Nope, 75%. So every the three out of four eggs you hatch are going to be something you could already have hatched.
Sounds
and then
fun.
There's still a chance that the between that 25% that one of them is going to just be a Porygon or a Tangela.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts so bad. Oh well. So there was also a Nintendo Direct this week, and it wasn't that exciting. It pretty much showed us everything we already knew about Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. I think the big thing that they showed was that HMs are gone, and they're replaced by essentially moves that your Pikachu or Eevee can know exclusively, but they're just passive moves to help them cut down a tree or move a boulder or surf. So it's not super exciting, but it's there.
I mean, that's the way to do it. I think that it was very appropriate for the programming constraints they had at the time to kind of soft lock you to an area. Mm-hmm. But now I think it's better that doing it this way. That's what we've always wanted.
I think this is just a good way to do it. It's essentially relegating it to an item, which I think everybody would have been happy with. And it was one of their original ideas, was to relegate it to an item instead of a Pokemon move, which I completely agree with, honestly. I think it should just be an item for these things. I mean, Pokeride was a good replacement as well. I think Pokeride was fantastic and should always be what we have in the future. It's just so I can press a button. I don't care if I've got a Pokemon in my party. I can fly. I press a button. I can surf. It doesn't matter. I would really prefer that. Anything but HM moves. HM moves were awful.
But they also have that good balance of being able to reuse them when you didn't have reusable TMs. So I do give it credit for that.
Oh, yeah. It's true. Let's see. They were all decent moves, too, minus like Cut and Flash. They were all decent moves. Let's see. Other thing, Nintendo Switch Online is coming out on September 19th. For those of you unaware, if you play Pokken Tournament or you play any of the other Pokemon games that require the internet, you will need this service. It's $20 a year. You can get actually cheaper if you have there's like a family plan, and you can actually get a cheaper subscription. And I mean, $20 isn't bad compared to Xbox and PlayStation. This isn't a general gaming podcast, so I don't want to get into it, but just letting you know it's there. You could do that. You could also play some NES games, and it looks like more consoles are going to be coming in the future. So maybe one day we'll get our virtual console version of Pokemon Coliseum. One day.
PSA for anybody that's trying to do the family plan with people that aren't on your family. There's only one person allowed to be administrator for the account. So if you're signing up with other people to be friends with and do it that way, just be careful that you give your money to somebody you trust, because they could just kick you off with no repercussions if they wanted to.
Yep. It's just be careful with that. If you're interested in doing that, though, go for it. Let's see.
Well, it really makes sense for you, because you and Mrs. T can definitely spend $35 for both of you versus $40 for both of you.
Yeah, exactly. We save our money, and it's not too bad. The final thing that I wanted to talk about is they launched the new season of the Pokemon anime's poster, and I think it's very interesting. They do a couple different things. First of all, it looks like Ash is probably going to get an Eevee with a really stupid haircut, because that's the big thing in Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, so we got to sell the games that way. It's got such a stupid haircut. Its haircut's so bad. The other thing is, it looks like Brock and Misty are going to be coming back to the anime in a somewhat regular capacity.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Very
yeah.
excited about that, yeah.
I'm all about that. I don't know what's going to be happening. It's really interesting. How's also going to be in it, so for those of you who hate How, I'm sorry. He's apparently going to be showing up in the anime, and hopefully we just finish this Alola arc. I really want to be done with Alola.
I mean, How's just a bad person.
Yeah. I mean, he might be cool in the anime. I never know. He might be okay in the anime. And I don't know. It's interesting. I want to see where they go with this. This is after they move their time slots to Sundays, which is also a really weird move for them. But we'll check back in the future with more exciting Pokemon anime updates, if any of you care. other than that, in Puckle news, we are doing signups for, I believe we're calling it the WWTC, which is our underused tournament that we're going to be doing. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a blast, and I think the winner of that tournament will be winning a copy of Pokemon Ultra Sun, North American version. And I do want to make the disclaimer, if you are outside of the United States, we may have to talk, because I probably won't be able to afford to ship it to you. So I want to make that clear. However, come and play. You get. We could probably hook you up with some Pokemon if you win and you're outside of the country. So definitely sign up and play.
I'm going to make the announcement right now. Even if you are outside of North America, both of us will pay to ship it to you. I'm going to put that out on the line, and I'm just going to say that's the kind of guy he is. You know, he's willing to put that money down. So if you're outside of North America, you should send Bo a direct message and ask him just how willing he is to send it to you. Just go ahead and make
all
that
of
thing.
All of you should send that literally right now.
Bo's such a good person.
He would do it too. Like, I bet if you asked him, he would be like, yeah, I'll send it to you.
The problem is it's still a North American cartridge. And so the North American cartridge won't work in their 3DS. But I guess they could have it as like a novelty piece.
It'll be their collector's item, yeah.
Yeah, their collector's item. I have this North American version of Pokemon Ultra Sun on my shelf.
It doesn't work.
You have some weird people like Fluff who like go grab a region-locked 3DS from time to time, you know? So
that's true.
Hey, somebody out there might just need the North American one.
Yeah, maybe. So that is it for the news this week, guys. We are going to jump right on over, though, to Pokel's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-hosts on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And on to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the segment of the show where we quiz your co-host with their innate Pokemon knowledge. So, of course, that means no laptop screens. Laptops particularly is something I decided to say, I guess. No internet, guys. You have to use what you know. Hopefully you can figure out what's going on in these questions and you can answer them to the best of your ability. That you are competing as a team to get today against the rest of the co-host and the squad. Of course, that means that we have five questions for you guys today. We have five questions, all worth 1 point apiece. However, one of them will have a bonus point, and you have one hint that you can use as a lifeline throughout the question and answer session. And if you answer all of the questions correctly without the hint, you can get all 7 points. So
didn't we get a perfect score last time that we were
all
together?
Yeah. Last time you were on, I think.
No pressure.
It doesn't matter. The ladder recently reset, so I think this is like the third episode with the new ladder. So you'll be fine. And we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. You are competing against the other co-host of the podcast for a plush from PokemonCenter.com, or I guess anything from PokemonCenter.com of $20 or less value, because Basket had to go ahead and make a be pedantic about it. And we are, of course, going to be going ahead and asking questions. So if you guys are ready, I've got them ready for you.
I'm down. Let's go.
All right. So
we're ready.
Question number one is, what is the only region in Pokemon that has two lighthouses?
I feel like it might be Unova. No, wait. Two lighthouses. Let's think of the lighthouses. Well, obviously, there's the one in Johto in Olivine.
Yep. What about like Bill's lighthouse?
Okay, so are we talking?
That was in the anime, or was that in?
Are we talking video games?
Video
like,
game.
In
video
what
game.
Context? Okay, I want to make sure. It's like, well, really, you can just find a lighthouse wherever, right?
You're not wrong.
Yeah, I feel like Hoenn definitely had a lighthouse. Did it? I don't know. I actually, this is harder than I thought it should be.
Was there one in fourth gen anywhere?
I feel like there might be one in Sunny Shore, but I'm not sure. Because it's been so long since I played fourth gen.
Does Alola have two lighthouses? It is like a bunch of chains of islands.
I don't think there's any lighthouses in Alola. Nah. You just go surfing at night and everyone's fine with it. I was thinking, no. Okay, so let's discuss what regions we know that it's not, so we can make a decent guess. It seems like it's not Kalos, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not thinking of Kalos. Not Kalos. I don't think it's Kanto, right? Like, there's no lighthouse in Kanto. Not Kanto. Not Alola, to our knowledge, right? Yeah.
Right.
I don't remember there being a lighthouse in Alola. Oh, wait, there is the one. There is one in Alola.
Isn't it?
It's really hard to access, isn't it? It's on Melee, I thought.
No, I thought it was Coney. It was Coney City Lighthouse.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking. The one with the rock specialist. I'm so done with Alola, you guys.
I'm gonna need an answer. Okay. I need an answer.
I understand that you need an answer. Just let us.
I'm gonna go with Alola. because why not?
I mean, I have nothing to prove. I've won trivia championship before, so I don't care if we're wrong. Why not? Okay, Alola it is.
That is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Hoenn. In Slateport and Lily Cove cities, there are both lighthouses. That was close, though. You were thinking a lot of water, and I think the region with the second most water would be Hoenn. So you were getting close.
Hoenn be Hoenn us.
That's okay. Can't be perfect.
No. All right.
So this next question is from Linian, so you know it's going to be good. So in Black and White, Dive could be obtained in the postgame to obtain items from the Abyssal Ruins. What item in the Abyssal Ruins was worth the most money? I have written down in my notes the most cash dollar bills, y'all. But
this is the most asininely arbitrary question. This leads to this, to this, and what is its value? I'm like...
Well, no, which one was just worth the most? That's the big thing. What's the big item you're going down to the Abyssal Ruins for?
Wasn't the Relic Crown? Did we sell the Relic Crown?
I thought that was how you got, the plates, the Arceus plates.
You could get
those probably aren't
too.
As much. Yeah, why not Relic Crown? I don't even care. Linian, why are you asking this question? I'm mad at you now.
That is correct. The answer is the Relic Crown. It's worth 3 million Pokédollars or something like that. It's absurd. A large sum of money. But yeah,
interesting.
That is correct. So this next question is written by me, but Mewtwo has a birthday. This was originally going to be the bonus point question, but I came up with a better bonus point question. So I'm just going to ask you guys for the month of Mewtwo's birthday, canonically. It is in the video games.
February 6th.
It is. Yeah. Thank you for knowing that. I was going to guess February, but I didn't know the day.
I would have given you 2 points with that originally, but I have a better double point answer. But that is correct. The answer is February 6th. That is Mewtwo's birthday. You can learn that in the Cinnabar Island Mansion in Kanto. You can learn that Mewtwo was born on February 6th. So that was quick. That
According to
the lab. So that's 2 points for you guys so far. So the
what
next
was
going to
be the second part?
Oh, that was just the day. The month of the day. I was just going to be nice to you guys. But this next one has three answers. I only need two of them, 1 point for each answer. If you get all three, you get bragging points. So I want to know, there are only three Pokemon, it turns out, that are capable of learning both a one-hit KO move as well as an accuracy focusing move such as Lock-On or Mind Reader.
Interesting.
There's only three of them that are capable of learning both of those moves. Who are they? Just 1 point for each answer.
Wasn't there some talk about the Fissure Machamp coming back up with from Gen 1 if you could get the ability? So I feel like...
Yeah, but that's not a focusing move. It's a focusing move. Oh. That's no guard Machamp. It's also impossible to do, by the way.
They
force you to get hidden abilities when you bring them up from Virtual Console.
So, okay, our moves are Fissure,
Sheer
Guillotine,
Cold,
and Horn Drill.
Sheer Cold.
Okay, yeah, Sheer Cold is another one. Can Lapras here learn any boosting moves?
I can't think of any. It might, but I don't know what it is.
You of course still have your hint as well.
Okay, I feel like
let's take the hint. Yeah.
Yeah, we might as well since we're not gonna.
Okay, so all of these Pokemon are from Gen 2 or before, and one of them is an oddball, but. Let's see. I don't know how else to describe them. Mind Reader is the move that you really want to focus on, though one of them can learn Lock-On and Mind Reader. But Mind Reader is the move you want to think about, and I'm going to say I believe it is Sheer Cold is the combination. Mind Reader, Sheer Cold is the combination.
What a strange combination.
And they're both of those Pokemon are actually Gen 1 Pokemon. I can get those.
What a fascinatingly strange combination.
Well, I know Poliwrath is one that can get Mind Reader. Can it get Sheer Cold?
I highly doubt it.
Okay, and then Articuno can learn Mind Reader.
I could see, if Articuno learns Mind Reader, I can definitely see Articuno learning Sheer Cold.
Okay. And then I'm pretty sure one of the Hitmons learns... Mind Reader.
But would it learn fissure?
Maybe.
I feel like it wouldn't. I don't know.
I feel Articuno for sure.
Yeah, Articuno is like a point. I think we've got that. That one's in the bag. Are they both? Thess, did you say they were both sheer cold or just one of them?
One of them is for sure. I'm double checking myself. But
I just wasn't sure if that was something that you had said or not.
Oh, it's actually okay. So one of them is mind reader sheer cold. One of them is mind reader fissure, and then one of them is literally all of them.
Okay, Lapras learns like everything.
Well, I mean, yeah. Why
only
not?
Two of these Pokemon are from Gen 1, and then one of them's from Gen 2.
Interesting. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh. What if we said Smeargle?
Oh. Yeah. That works. Let's go Articuno and Smeargle.
Yeah, there you go.
I like it.
That is correct on both accounts. Articuno and Smeargle can both do it. The other answer is Poliwrath. Poliwrath is Fissure Mind Reader. Fissure and Mind Reader.
Oh, Fissure. Fissure. Okay.
Poliwrath can learn Fissure in Gen 1, and then you can bring it up, and it can learn Mind Reader later on.
All right, I'm glad I thought of the Smeargle trick.
Yeah, that's
Smeargle
good.
Is the other one. That is correct. So that is 4 points so far for you guys. Let's see if we can go for five. This is the fifth question, and as it is every week, it is a base deck question, because you got to train those kids to know what good Pokemon are and get a feeling for natural bulk. And so today I want to ask about HP, because I find HP is actually the hardest one to do all the time, because you never think about base HP. And I want to know what grass-type Pokemon has the highest base HP of all grass-type Pokemon.
Well, it's not Blissey.
No.
Is it Go-Goat?
I think that could be it, because Go-Goat stats is... I think you're right. I would guess Go-Goat.
Yeah,
there's not like HP bulky grass types, and I remember, I don't know why, but like Go-Goat's stat spread is weird. It has this deceptively high base stat total, and you would never think that because of how it spreads. So I feel like high HP and lower other stuff would make sense for it.
Yeah, I feel like Go-Goat's the way to go then.
That is correct. Go-Goat is the answer with a base 123. base HP. That's
okay, good. I was low key panicking and thinking it was a Amoongus at the last second after I said it. So I'm pretty happy that it's Go-Goat.
Well, that's good for you guys, because today you guys got a few points. You got 5 points. That puts you in it looks like a 4-way tie for second place currently, because it's only been 2 to 3 weeks since we reset the ladder. So let me go ahead, sort the columns. And right now, in first place, we have Whimsicott with 7 points. Tied for second, we have a 4-way tie with 5 points. We have Shamu, Basket, Sublime, and Gator, all with 5 points. Tied for sixth place, we have Sigma and Scrawn with 1 point apiece. And then everybody else has yet to get on the board.
So, you guys suck.
So that is going to be it for Puckle's Poke Quiz this week, guys. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the topic.
Ciao, I'm the Fluffiest Whimsicott, and I want to tell you how you can enjoy Puckle even more and make it better at the same time. First, join our Discord server. You can hang out with us and a ton of cool people, take part in our tournaments, and get all our news right out of the gate. You can also interact and keep up with us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on our subreddit. If you love live content, we're on Twitch at least twice a week with all sorts of streams, from viewer battles to shiny hunting to PTCGO. If you want to drop a little bit of your extra cash on us in exchange for cool stuff, we have both a Patreon and a TeePublic store, so be sure to check this out. And finally, there's so much great Puckle content that we're now on two feeds. Make sure you are subscribed to both Puckle and Puckle Plus, so you don't miss out on any of our sideshows. And drop us a review while you're at it. We really appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be back in Gen 5, the series of shows that we talk about what each generation brought to the Pokemon franchise and how it changed Pokemon as a whole and made Pokemon possibly a better experience. I'm going to say possibly, because I feel like Gen 5 is the first time that things had to get backtracked. I do think that Gen 5 has a lot of redeeming qualities, but I also think that it has some bad qualities as well. And we can get into that, but I want to talk about just like some general ones. We were listing these off just a few minutes ago before we started the segment. Gen 5 was the first one that introduced infinite TMs. So that's actually like a really
good
plus.
That's a big deal. Yeah, mm-hmm. That is a big deal.
No longer do you have to painstakingly hoard all of your TMs and hope that you didn't use Earthquake on the wrong Pokemon. Because
No. You always put them on your starter. That's the only thing. That's the only way to play Pokemon. You have one super powered Pokemon that you use all the good stuff on, and everything else is just there for HMs.
It's just garbage. Just garbage. This is also the first generation where you have moving sprites, constant moving sprites, which is kind of cool. It's interesting. It's the only one where you have sprites that move constantly. Now we have 3D cel-shaded art. It's also the last time that the sprites actually had robust colors compared to when a lot of them got transferred up to Gen 6. Gen 6 just did a really bad job transferring the palettes, and I don't know what happened there.
Well, they should have went back to Gen 1 for Palette Town and started off on the right foot. That's my opinion.
Maybe that's why the Switch game will have different.
I wouldn't be surprised if it had different shiny colors and stuff like that in Gen, or in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, or even in the Switch game. This was also the first generation to not include Professor Oak. Dun, dun, dun.
Also the first female professor on that note.
First female professor. First and only, turns out. Which is really depressing. Unless you include, like, Professor Burnett in Alola.
But you shouldn't. She's not. Does she give you your starting Pokemon?
She doesn't, but Kukui doesn't either until Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. In Sun and Moon, Kukui doesn't give you your starter either.
That's true. But, like, of the, like, canonical, like, what we think of as the professor, it is... Who's named after a tree? Juniper, not Burnett.
Okay, is Burnett not a tree? I don't know.
Well, everyone, welcome to the Listening to Thatch Type podcast.
Yep. I'm about to type this up.
Where are we talking about? While Thatch is looking that up, I'll talk about a couple of the other things that they added. This was the first time we had seasons in a Pokemon game. We had the day and night cycle before, but this was an introduction of seasons. So if you remember your Deerlings and Salzbucks, and was it Salzbucks that was the one that changed?
Yeah, Salzbucks, yeah, the evolution of Deerling.
Oh, I forgot about seasons. I forgot about seasons. That is an interesting concept.
It is an interesting concept, exactly.
It was like Animal Crossing-esque move. And I'm always a fan of those, I'm not going to lie.
And, you know, this is the first time we had the global link. So, you know, that's something that stuck with us. And they put the Pokemon and the Pokemon Center together in one building. You know, so there's some difference that are, you know, pretty innovative for the time, and stuff that we still carry with us today. Like the when they pan out with the camera and show you the big realistic version of the town.
Yeah,
like
that's
with
true.
Sky Arrow Bridge and Dragon Spire Tower and places like that. So, and I'll say this in favor of Gen 5. They stopped killing your Pokemon with poison in between battles.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Gen 5 did a lot. Gen 5 did do a lot. I have always been under the impression it didn't do too much. We didn't talk about triple or rotation battles either, which were a thing, because they're just like,
they are a thing.
What's the next evolution of Pokemon battles? And they're just like, now you use three Pokemon at once. Triple battles were later removed in Gen 7. I think it was more due to a hardware limitation than anything else.
Yeah, it was.
Because they definitely increased the resolution in, what's it called, in Gen 7 from Gen 6. And if you have something like a Moltres in Gen 7, and you have six of those on the field at once, because of all of the details in the flame and stuff, your game literally lags in Gen 6, and it just dies. Because it can't handle doing all of that animation all at the same time. It's just disgustingly slow.
Oh, it also had the dark grass for the double battles. Speaking of the double battles, so like when you're walking around the overworld, you could see where you could have one of those interactions.
They did do have special interactions. Gen 5 also was the one that introduced hidden abilities as well, which I think is an interesting mechanic in which they could make Pokemon more interesting by being like, oh, now we're adding this ability to a Pokemon. It breathed a lot of new life into Pokemon before Mega Evolution.
I feel like that was just an excuse to get an additional ability, and in a way it kind of annoys. I feel like it's poorly implemented, because in Gen 4 they added a second ability, right? Because Gen 3 you only had the one.
I don't think that's true. I think you can still have two in Gen.
I think that's true.
In Gen 3.
I'm pretty sure Gen 3 had multiple abilities.
Gen 5 gave you hidden abilities. I think in Gen 5, when they did Black and White 2, I think they did a much better job implementing it because you could go and catch them from hidden grottos. I think they did a horrible job implementing it in Black and White because you had to originally take a Pokemon, put it in the Dream World, which was on the Global Link, and then you had to go play these stupid mini games with your Pokemon in hopes that you would befriend another Pokemon on the Global Link, and then you'd have to transfer that Pokemon back to your game to get it. And if you're a competitive player and you're just like, man, Toxic or Poison Heal Gliscor is amazing, you had to hope that the Pokemon you got was the right nature, because bringing those abilities was horrible. It had to be the female that had the ability. It had to, and so you either had to hope that the Pokemon you got from the Global Link was a female, or hope that it had good IVs and the right ability. It was just gross and horrible as a competitive player trying to get those abilities. But the Hidden Grottos, I think, did a really good job. I mean, the Hidden Grottos pulled everything together.
Except
really
the
well.
Appearance rates of some stuff was really low.
It was really
Pokemon.
Low.
And that would usually be the abilities you want.
I think it was part of the challenge, though. Hidden abilities, to me, breathe life into it as an old player who already had all of the Pokemon, trying to go back and get old Pokemon again. You know what I mean? In terms of going out and collecting and searching. Because I really enjoyed going through and trying to collect Pokemon with the hidden abilities that were good for competitive play. And I would say, honestly, those are the Pokemon that only had any kind of value to me for the longest time. I think since then they've made hidden abilities a little too easy to get. I wouldn't even call them hidden abilities anymore.
Like, the whole thing about the hidden abilities is like, well, let's give everything more abilities, but they didn't want to make it part of the pool of regular abilities already.
Yeah.
So I feel like they added this unnecessary, like, burdensome mechanic for a specific ability.
I think it's an interesting one in that it's just, you have to collect it. From a collecting standpoint.
I think it's interesting for Pokemon that otherwise wouldn't have another ability, most notably starters. Starters getting hidden abilities was a game changer.
That's true. I would say that. I would say that. I don't know.
Here's what I don't like about Gen 5, though. That was the first one where you had the inability to complete your Pokedex without transferring
yes,
stuff.
That's a big thing.
And then they made it, like you were talking about, super hard to get the stuff that you wanted, having to go with a third-party application or whatever. Mm-hmm. That wasn't very good. And also, the game was really strange on how they scaled the difficulty. That's one thing I didn't care for.
So there's a few things on that note that I just don't think really work that well with Gen 5. I think that the first thing that didn't work really well was the Pokemon that they introduced. First, in Black and White, I think Black and White were horribly implemented. It was Game Freak trying to go for the soft reboot, and it was just not implemented properly. I think there's a lot of power in old Pokemon being present, because old Pokemon are what bring a lot of the, for the lack of a better word, core fans back. Because we go, oh man, I still want to have some recognizable faces. I don't need 150 new Pokemon. I still want to be able to catch my, I don't know, let's say, for example, like Heracross. I would love to be able to catch Heracross in the main series game. And you go through, you play the game, and it's just all new Pokemon, no familiar faces. No, not even Pikachu.
I don't think Pikachu is in Black White at all.
You can catch it in Black White after you beat the Elite Four. Because in Black and White, after you beat the Elite Four, there's still like half of Unova to go through.
There's like a portion of Unova to go through, but I don't know that Pikachu's in it.
Pikachu is in it. They would be remiss to not allow you to catch Pikachu. Pikachu is catchable though in Black and White, I'm pretty sure. If it's not, please tell me, because that
I'm gonna look it up.
That's a strike against Black and White.
I'm genuinely unsure.
Granted, I think Game Freak has learned their lesson in not catching or not including old Pokemon. However, I think they kind of went overboard with it, and they just like adjusted way too hard in the opposite direction. And ever since, have just been like, whoa, 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 let's not include too many new Pokemon.
Get this: there are no Pikachu that you can get in Black and White.
No.
You have to do a Poke Transfer or Dream World. I remember thinking you could not get the mascot in black and white. I remember that being a thought I had had before.
Because you know what's even worse is there's like a head shaped like a Pikachu throughout that game too that you can walk by. And you can't even catch it. That blows my mind that you can't catch Pikachu in black and white. I have such a hard time believing that, but I will absolutely believe you.
Go look it up. Yep. It says...
I'm so blown away by the fact that you can't...
You have to use the Dream World or Poke Transfer.
Let me see. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it has to be Poke Transfer. What the heck is up with that? Good Game Freak. Get your head out of your bums. Like... On top of that, like, if you're going to do that, at least reboot the anime at the same time, right? You can't even catch it in black and white, too. What is up with that? It's even worse.
Well, I mean, it would like, also...
You could,
go ahead.
You could still transfer to it. Right, like, you could transfer from Gen 4 to Gen 5 pretty easily.
That one, so would, that's true. Like, that's true.
They implemented something that really bothers me. Which is the Elite Four no longer having to be battled in a set order.
I love that. I thought that was a great change.
I like the idea that this is like how you become the champion. You go through these four people, like boom, 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 boom. I might have spent too many hours playing Gen 3 and going over and over again to level stuff up, but I just really like that approach. So when I was presented with like, oh, you can go any door you want to, I was not happy with it, and I'm still not happy with it.
I can see that. As being a gripe, I like that prior to that, you had a chance to feel like there's some kind of hierarchy in the Elite Four. And it's not really there anymore. It's just four guys who hang out and you battle them. And before it was, I'm trapped in this hallway where I have to keep battling people. And I felt that was more dire than like, okay, I'm going to go to this hub world and now I have to go battle this next guy. That I get to choose.
It doesn't have the same kind of like gravity to it. Like it doesn't feel like the culmination. It just feels like, oh, gotta go fight this person. All right, who should I fight next? Oh, I'll go fight this person. Like, no, I want it to scale and get bigger and nastier until I become the champion and crush everyone's dreams and hopes and become the Pokemon master. That's what I want. That's what I need. Pokemon needs to give it to me.
Just wait till Gen 8. I have a feeling that we're gonna get a much more intense Gen 8. Just because Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee is going to kind of let off the pressure of, hey, this isn't going to be a game where we have to hold your hand. You're going to be able to go and you're going to play. Hopefully it's not like Gen 5 in that they're just like, hey, all these new Pokemon we introduced don't evolve until level 52. And you have to wait for
them. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That took so long.
Well, what's even worse is some of them won't evolve by levels that you would typically have by the time you reach the Elite Four. There's a couple of good examples of this. First being something like Braviary. That doesn't evolve until level 52. Rufflet doesn't evolve into Braviary until level 52. Likewise with Mandibuzz. But then you also have things like, oh man, you had Bisharp. That doesn't evolve until super late.
Those are also super late acquisitions, though. Like, you don't get those until you're almost done with the game anyway. So it's not like you were using a little Ponyard the whole game. And I think y'all are doing Gen 5 a disservice in terms of the fact that it introduced the most Pokemon in a single generation. And so, yes, yeah, some of them were
a lot of them
very
were bad.
Late evolving things.
However,
a lot of them were really great. No. A lot of them were great, too. Let's be clear. I don't care if they had three monkeys. They also had three Eeveelutions. And
what like, three Eeveelutions?
Eeveelutions are different because those have unique
designs. It's three things coming from
designs.
Like one design. Yes, okay, and so they made three monkeys. And
okay,
they made them,
but they made like, literally trash Pokemon. Literal trash.
Yes, but the little trash Pokemon's really good in the TCG. No, but if you think about it, like, instead of giving us, like, a crappy Caterpie, like, replica, they gave us two unique bug lines that evolved at higher levels and were substantially stronger also.
Oh, yeah, I agree that there were some good ones, but there was a lot of laziness.
There were some really good ones.
I mean, they introduced 156 Pokemon in Gen 5. The problem was, like Gator said, one, you had to transfer to be able to get all of them. They've later fixed this. In every generation since, in Gen 5 and in Gen 7, it's been capable of, in one single generation, to capture every single Pokemon. More so because they also started doing like the events and stuff more recently, where you can go catch a bunch of really cool event Pokemon. And hopefully they do something like they did similar to, I believe it was 2013, or not 2013, 2015 or so like that, where they dropped a bunch of Pokemon throughout the series or throughout the year, and they were mythicals. That one mythical year, I forget when that was. That was a few years ago, though.
Yeah.
And that was
like
a good
2 years ago?
Yeah,
it was a good year. Yeah.
It was a good year. It was 2015 or 2016, I think.
I think it was 16 or 17.
It was Gen 6, and it was the year that Sun and Moon came out. I remember very clearly. Because Meloetta came out for Gen 6 after we had Gen 7. And you could download Meloetta. But I digress. I think that's just part of the pain of it, is that, hey, we just made a bunch of... I feel like they made a bunch of fluff Pokemon in Gen 7. And even the interviews back that up. Because if you... I want to take a moment to talk about Basculin. Basculin literally exists with its two forms because they did not think Gen 5 included enough fish Pokemon.
It didn't. It's actually very water type anemic compared to other generations.
I mean, which they also didn't include any like really good steel types either. So,
Bisharp, Ponyard. What you mean?
I'm talking about steel specialists, not like some hybrid stuff. Like, it's the first time they didn't do that.
I'm not sure what you're describing.
You mean like
Genesect, Cobalion, like they're Escavalier, Ferrothorn. There are a lot of Excadrill. There are a lot of steel types in Gen 5 that are quite notable.
I don't like them. You're just defending Gen 5 because it's got Snivy in it.
Yes, the best Pokemon. That is true as well. Let's just talk about the story for a second. I think Gen 5 holds up to this day as the strongest narrative in the Pokemon games.
This is true. I would agree with that.
And they were really innovative. Like, yes, Gen 5 did a lot of things that they missed the mark on, and they did a lot of things that I think hit the mark. And what I think we could describe Gen 5 as is very experimental.
They were willing to push the envelope.
It was such a good game that they only – such a good generation that they only put two versions of games in it.
It was such a good generation. They were willing to make a sequel to it instead of having to go somewhere else.
And then we saw how that played out.
Quite well, because the narrative was, again, good.
The sequel was actually really good. The problem was there was such a bad taste in people's mouth after Black and White that it didn't sell very well. And I think that's a problem, because I think Black and White 2 are some of the best Pokemon games to date, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I really address the
old Pokemon issue excellently. So
yeah, there's no other game that you can really go through with an Electabuzz, but with an Elekid or a Magby in your party is like the starting region. I think you get it by the second gym.
Riolu too. It was just like a really good distribution in that game.
It was done very well. I mean, they've done a really good job, I would even argue. In Sun and Moon, they did a really good job.
I would say the best that they ever nailed it with were Black 2, White 2, and then X and Y.
Yeah, they did a really good job with the distribution in those, and I can understand a lot of problems though with the problem with Gen 5 and Black and White 2 was that it left such a big it left a lot of shoes to be filled with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, and I feel like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon really missed the mark there. I think we can all agree there.
If we look at games that happen in the same region, Black 2 and White 2 is miles ahead of Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
I think that should be the standard personally. If you're going to try to drop a third version like that.
It needs to be Black 2, White 2 level.
Yeah, you need to have it be a sequel. I don't think we're going to see a
Yeah, which is a shame because it was so, I thought, well done.
Yeah. The problem is Game Freak, I don't know. I feel like they kind of just watch sales numbers. And I want to say that they're somewhat disconnected from the fans, though I think that's somewhat intentional. I know with Nintendo games, they purposely make sure they're not listening to the fans so that they they can make the best game that they can make, something that the creators want to envision, which I think is a healthy attitude. And I just think that they are somewhat disconnected from what the fan base actually really enjoys about Pokemon. And I think that's why we got something like a soft reboot, and we got something like we had a lot of the issues with Black and White. It was just like this level of disconnect. And then you get them where they come back a little too safely. And they kind of hard adjusted. I'm hoping Gen 8, maybe they can get the balance just right.
Tangentially, though, Game Freak is coming out with a new game, so...
Yeah, they are.
Fun. Heads up, everybody.
They are. It's called Town, and it actually looks really interesting, by the way. I'm probably going to buy that. I wonder if it's somehow related to like one of the engines they were trying to build for Pokemon, because typically if Game Freak comes out with a game that's not Pokemon, it's because their developers were working really hard on it because they're just, they give them like 6 months to come up with a game and a concept. And if it doesn't work out, they go, okay, back to the Pokemon machine. And that's how that works out. So I'm really excited to see how Town turns out. I mean, they came out with a few other games too. They came out with the elephant game, partnered with Sega. And then there's always like one every Pokemon generation where they come out with some other game that's not just Pokemon, which is probably healthy. It's a good move for them just to not always constantly being like, yeah, Pokemon, that's a thing.
Well, like you said, it kind of like helps isolate them a little bit and get them in a different headspace versus, mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
you know, if you spend some time working on a different project, you can easily bring those ideas over to a new thing and come up with something cool. So
I'm very excited to see what they come up with Gen 8. I think Gen 8 has a really good possibility of getting, I think it's going to be a happy mix of everything that we've ever wanted. And I'm ready to be disappointed, but I really think this is a time where they can kind of just be like, okay, we can take all of the good stuff from Gen 5 that really did work, and then we're going to take all of the stuff that, all of the changes that we should make and all the tweaks, and we'll put it all together. We'll make a great game. People will have a lot of fun and have fun playing it in 3D, and it's going to be streamed on Twitch like crazy because that's way easier to stream than a 3DS. I am not looking forward to all the craptastic streams that pop up in November. When Let's Go drops, and then you get people who have never streamed like Pokemon games before trying to stream Pokemon. But we'll see. It'll be an interesting time. I think that's where we'll end it then. So we are going to kick it on over, guys, and take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 508, Stoutland, the big-hearted Pokemon.
With this wise Pokemon, there could be no concern that would ever attack people. Some parents even trusted to babysit. That is the Sun and Moon Pokedex entry.
I didn't realize how good Stoutland was until we sat down and talked about it for this episode. It is, I mean, I knew it was good in competitive Pokemon to an extent. Unfortunately, it's in the PU tier, but it's so much better than that. I don't understand why. Of course, obviously, it's a normal type Pokemon. Base 85 HP with 90 defenses in both defense and special defense. 110 base attack, 80 base speed, 45 special attack, but who cares? You just throw that aside. And it's an awesome Pokemon. It's got good abilities and Intimidate. It's got Sand Rush, which I think is the better reason to use it, is to put it on a sand team and get some non-ground type, rock type coverage. And then it's also got Scrappy as well if you want to try to hit ghost types. It's amazing, though. Like, it's just a solid Pokemon. On top of that, yeah, you can have it watch your kids at the same time. On top of that, there was, I don't know if you guys have watched the Sun and Moon anime, but I think one of the better arcs in the Sun and Moon anime recently was this arc between Ash's Litten and a Stoutland. Because Ash's Litten used to just take care of this old Stoutland that was trying to teach it how to use Fire Fang. And then eventually the Stoutland dies.
It dies, yeah.
And then Ash like takes Litten and takes care of Litten after that. It blows my mind. It is one of the saddest, most heart-wrenching parts of the Sun and Moon anime. And it's just really good. And I forgot that it was in the animated trailer for Black and White 2, which we just need an anime of. Can we just get that?
That was such a good trailer.
It literally gets all the fangs. I'm sitting here looking through its attacks. Yeah. Psychic Fang, Thunder Fang, Fire Fang.
Does it get Poison Fang?
No. It does get Ice Fire, Thunder, Psychic, but I do not see
those
Poison.
Those are the only ones. Does it get Crunch? Probably.
Yes, it does get Crunch.
And it has Play Rough.
And superpower. Like, what coverage you need? It got you. Well, it's a normal type, so of course it has good coverage.
It has good coverage, and it's got good stats to back it up. That's the thing. You typically don't get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
it has Wild Charge if you really want to hit harder than Thunder Fang.
But, who cares? I mean, it also gets Stomping Tantrum, which is an interesting move in and of itself in terms of, like, VGC. And it's just good. There's nothing bad about Stoutland. Well, it doesn't get Earthquake, so I guess Stomping Tantrum's better anyway, because it doesn't get Earthquake. It's just such a good Pokemon.
Using Stoutland, it's going to be on a sand team. You have something else with Earthquake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can run it in PU with just Scrappy, and then just hit return or superpower or facade or something. Just like go to town, just keep clicking those buttons. But I mean, obviously the way to do it is just run it like adamant, or I mean, this is literally just like normal type excadrill. That's how I kind of see it, without the steel and
rapid spin.
Without and rapid spin. I just see it as different type coverage excadrill. I mean, you just throw it on a sand team, you get the sand up with something like Gigalith, or Gigalith is down low too, even though it has Sandstream now. Gigalith or Tyranitar with the Dry Rock, you get 8 turns of sand, and you're just having a blast. You just go out there, and you're just like, yeah, return, superpower, crunch. Slap a Choice Band on it, and you're hitting hard, you're adamant, and in Sand Rush, because Sand Rush, you're going to double your speed anyway, which is absurd. It's just a good mon. I mean, you could use it anywhere, I think. I think anywhere that sand is somewhat viable, you could probably run Stoutland. Though I think it's kind of one-dimensional in terms of like what you're going to see is, oh yeah, sand team. Let's stop the sand.
But like, there's lots of one-dimensional Pokemon that are good.
That's true.
So
I don't think Stoutland's a bad Pokemon. Like, I don't want to say
no,
it's a bad
Pokemon. Great. I think we were very pleasantly surprised by how good it is.
Yes, I mean, I'm more than pleasantly surprised. I'm just like, very excited about this. I need to figure out a way to run it more effectively. But it's a good Pokemon.
You know, you want to know who was unpleasantly surprised about Stoutland, though? Everybody that showed up at the Daytona Expanded Regionals last year for the TCG. because it also has a TCG card that got some play because of a Herdier being released in Sun and Moon. The Stoutland card's from Boundaries Crossed. It is a stage 2, obviously, with 140 hit points, and it has the ability Sentinel. As long as this Pokemon is your active Pokemon, your opponent can't play any supporter card from his or her hand.
Oh, God.
So what people were doing is making a deck called Shock Lock. And what they would do is play this Stoutland, and they would put it in their active, and then they would play the Raichu that came out in Burning Shadows, which says when you evolve your Pokemon, you can leave your opponent's active Pokemon paralyzed. So they would just stall out their opponent and mill them to death by having the Stoutland where they couldn't retreat with because they're paralyzed. They can't use Guzma to get themselves out of it. They're absolutely positively stuck underneath this locked deck because of Stoutland.
That's
it was
crazy.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
And then like they even had a really good Herdier that got printed that started the deck off because the Herdier has an ability that says when you play it from your hand to evolve one of your Pokemon, you put an item card from your discard pile into your hand.
So then
the
you just get Stoutland next turn.
Yeah.
It's that's crazy.
So crazy. Yeah. It was one of my favorite things to come out of last year. So that's what made me inspired to even suggest Stoutland today, because Stoutland's, don't sleep on Stoutland, guys. He's all kinds of places.
Yeah, he's a good Pokemon. I am just amazed by how good he is. And his shiny's not bad. He's got like a cool shiny. I've never looked at shiny Stoutland, but it's a cool shiny. He's got like yellow fur on his like lip and mustache, and he's got like
green looks like he's clearly living in the sand stream.
Yeah. I think shiny Stoutland is probably legitimately one of the cooler ones. Like I'm not a big fan of shiny Pokemon in terms of me trying to use them all the time. I know a lot of people, like especially when they hack, will try to be like, oh, I want to make sure this Pokemon's shiny because I think it looks cool. Example of Pokemon I think look disgusting shiny and just makes me go, oh, you're a tool, is no offense, Gator, is like shiny Salamence. I think it just looks gross because you're just like, I made my Salamence shiny, and I'm just like, well, that's cool, except shiny Salamence looks like poop. And
I'll fight you.
I think regular Salamence looks really good.
Yeah, I agree. I like the regular version, but I'm not usually a big fan of shiny versions of anything.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. And I'm kind of like that, but occasionally there's one that I think is really cool. Example is one Stoutland. I think that's a really cool looking one. And another one I would say, for example, is something like Hawlucha, where the colors kind of get like totally flipped. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like a palette swap. It looks like, oh, hey, we thought about this one and we made a sweet shiny.
Mm-hmm. The list of good shinies is a lot smaller than the list of really, really bad ones.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
Okay, but can we talk for a minute about how Stoutland's name in Japanese is Mooland?
What?
That Mooland? Is amazing.
Mooland.
Mooland.
With a combination of Muku, which is shaggy hair, and land. So Mooland.
Mooland.
Mooland. I'm going to name a dog Mooland. That's great.
Mooland. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a mispronunciation of the movie Mulan. That's honestly Mulan. What it sounds like to me. Mulan.
It's your grandpa telling you he rented you a video. I rented you that there, Mulan, that you were wanting to watch.
The other names are hilarious, too. Like German is Bismarck. referencing Otto von Bismarck. They're trying to reference Otto von Bismarck. I mean, he kind of looks like him, which is really interesting.
What is it? French is Mastouffée.
Mastouffée. I don't know what Touffée is. It must be like the facial hair or something. And then Baland is in Korean, which is just Barkland. Barkland.
This is great. Stoutland's great.
Stoutland, you have nothing bad about you. There's literally nothing bad about you. You're just a good Pokemon.
It is the most good Pokemon.
Like
good
in my boy. Next play, because I'm playing through all of the third versions of games, though Black and White, I'm probably going to play Black and White and then Black and White 2, like as a Nuzlocke. I'm going to try to get a Stoutland. I think Stoutland's a solid Mon. I did not realize how good it was. And unlike a lot of the Pokemon in Black and White, it evolves by level 32. So good for it.
Okay, but like lots of things evolve in the 30s. Like we like to make fun, but there's plenty of things that evolve at a regular time.
No, I think 32 is fine. I think 30 to 40 is a good. I think having evolutions in the 40s is healthy. That's fine. It's when you get to things like Rufflet and you get to things like Larvesta. I think Larvesta doesn't need to be 59. Make it like 55. That would have been fine with me. I think, and let's not talk about Hydreigon, which is absolutely stupid. At 64, but
that was the most. Yeah, that was the most kind of like really.
To be fair, though, Hydreigon was literally the destructor of the meta for like 3-4 years, and like I've said on the show before, I need to get myself a poster of that official Sigamori art of Sylveon just destroying a Hydreigon because that was the Hydreigon was the reason for Fairy type. Like, absolutely.
I think Gen 5 in general was the reason for Fairy type, actually, now that we think about it.
Oh, yeah, fighting types are prevalent.
A lot of really strong fighting types.
Fighting, I mean, it's super effective against everything that was really dangerous. Dark, fighting, and dragon. Those were all really dangerous in Gen 5. So, but that's Stoutland for you. So, we are going to go ahead and take a break here, guys. Well, not take a break. We're just going to flip it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is, as always, brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And as always, we'll give away the Green Tauros badge to anybody we think starts a good discussion or something, or you make us laugh really loud. It really doesn't have any rules. And so it's just however we feel. We are the creators. We do what we will. For those of you who are new to the show, the mailbag segment is where we read emails from you, the listeners. You can send one in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. You can, of course, answer a prompt that we do, or just send us anything, your thoughts, your concerns, your expressions of outrage at something. I don't know, at Shamu saying words on the next show or something like that. I don't know if he's on next week. I forget who's on next week. But
I am.
I know you are. I forget. Somebody else is on with you, though. But
you. Yeah.
It's going to be the Thatch and Gator show. Ba-dum-bum.
I tune in.
Honestly, yeah, I'm not going to lie. We have a pretty good rapport. And but last week, our mailbag question was, what job would you like to have in the Pokemon universe? And we got some good emails for that, actually. I'm really excited to get into them. If you want to email us next week, you can answer, what is your favorite part about Generation 5? Or what's your favorite Pokemon from Generation 5? Send that in to PucklePodcast.
The correct answer is Snivy. All other answers will be rejected.
But before then...
Okay. But you didn't ask us what we want to be in the Pokemon world.
That's true. I will ask you that right now.
I'm already like in marketing and advertising right now. I think it would be cool to switch to a position where you got to do something like that with Pokemon. I would love to have like a team of Pokemon that I do guerrilla marketing with. That would be super sweet. Like we just go and like do flash mobs or do whatever, like have something that creates illusions like a Zoroark. And I think that would be really sweet to create like the Pokemon advertising company. the probably Pokemon like random products.
That would be interesting. What about you, Sublime? What would you
I
be?
I feel like you will all agree that this is the correct one. I would be a killer Pokemon coordinator.
That's true.
Yes.
That is Sublime. I want to see Sublime be a Pokemon coordinator. This is happening.
I feel I thought you'd be like the champion of the contest, but you know, if you want
that's
to settle
what
for
they
just being
are.
Wait, that's I'm talking about the champion.
Well, I mean, you could. I mean, the champion is still a coordinator, so
like the champion, though. Like, number who's number one? It's Sublime.
Honestly, I could totally see that. It would work out really well.
That or one of the movie directors. I could see you doing that too. Going
in Pokewood?
Yeah.
No, in Burbank Pokey Studios.
Star. Yeah,
Burbank Studios. Yeah. Burbank has real studios. Never mind.
Oh, yes, that would be super cool.
Yeah.
All right, so this first one is from Red 7, and I believe it's a letter he received when he was a child at the Pewter City Gym. I think that's the context here. For those of you who are unaware, but here we go. Dear Junior Trainer Red 7, we would like to thank you for your past works during your employment as a trainer within Pewter City's Pokemon League Gym. However, due to some recent trainer complaints and an audit from our accounting department, it was unanimously decided that your current employment will henceforth be terminated. Below are a few of the numerous complaints we receive from new trainers who had just begun their adventures. 1. You do not utilize the Pokemon of the same type as the gym leaders. While Brock technically uses Pokemon that are ground type, his training style is that of a rock gym leader. You use a Sandshrew and a Diglett, and they don't truly fit with the theme of a rock type gym challenge. Misrepresenting units of an astronomical distance. It has been reported by numerous trainers that you have shouted at the top of your lungs, "Stop right there, kid! You're still light years away from facing Brock." However, you stand literally 10 feet from the gym leader. Light years measure distance, not time. Stating this after the battle doesn't take away the fact that you're teaching young and highly impressionable youth incorrect information. Incorrectly distributing battle winnings to trainers. It has been discovered that after each loss against a challenger, you distribute a prize of $220. However, in our contract with you, it is stated that the sole trainer of a gym, the battle winnings must for each loss must equal half of the prize money given by the gym leader. Brock's prize is roughly $1,300, which means you should be distributing $650 to each trainer. We have provided more than enough in your trainer credit account for such distributions. There should be no reason to withhold this sum of massive money from each trainer. Where's the rest of the money going? In conclusion, we have found your recent dishonest behavior reprehensible. You have brought shame to our league's prestigious name and have tarnished the reputation of the Pewter City gym leader. Your Pokemon League license has been revoked and you will vacate the premises immediately. Our findings regarding your embezzlement have been forwarded to the Pewter City Police Department. You will never work for another gym in this league again. Regards, Mark Johnson, Director of Human Resources, Kanto Pokemon League. I like, so you guys can't see this, but I like that he took the time to find an image of an actual signature to put in there for Mark Johnson.
Oh my God.
The level of detail in this is amazing. He always does such a good job in storytelling. I really like that. He should write a fanfic. It would be really good. All right. But, that is it for Red 7. I think we should jump into this next one from Mr. Sniffles.
All right. Hey, Puckle. It's been a while, but it's me, Mr. Sniffles, a.k.a. Bo's little brother. Just munching on a balanced breakfast of Combios and a side of Zumungus Z noodles for a daily dose of heart scales. First of all, I'd like to say some nice things about Thatch, because he says he likes when we say nice things about him. Your podcast is dope. You're dope. And I'm sorry I couldn't hug you at PuckleCon this year.
He ruined
it. We missed you.
We did. That was everyone's first question, is where's Mr. Sniffles? And then everybody was like, wait, who's Mr. Sniffles? And they were like, oh, sorry. Where's Jushiro? LOL. And then that's what became a meme. Now to the topic. Cave. Crobatman. Crobatman. I'll start with saying I would definitely want to be a Nurse Joy as my profession in the Pokemon universe. I mean, who doesn't want to heal Pokemon 24/7, including weekends and holidays with no lunch breaks? And when we say we hope to see you again, I don't think they mean they want your Pokemon to get hurt again. I think they mean seeing you as the highlight of their day. In all seriousness, I'd probably want to be a teacher at the trainer school. Helping young adults at age 10 learn the potential of their Pokemon just sounds inspiring. Or I'd be a Slowpoke tail or bicycle salesperson, because apparently that's where the big bucks are at. As for jobs, I wouldn't want to do other than be a Nurse Joy. I wouldn't want to be a Pokemon breeder or the person that runs the daycare because I'm a ditto rights activist. I also wouldn't want to work for Silphco because being held hostage by Team Rocket in Gen 1 and then completely disappearing in Gen 2 does not sound fun. Well, I think that's going to wrap this up now. It's been real, Puckle Peeps. I'll try to be around more. Fart in the shape of a heart, Mr. Sniffles.
I don't know. You could work for Silphco. I just think they had to downsize after being taken over by Team Rocket. It's fine. Just get downsized. It's a giant company. It's real life. It happens. I don't know about anything else, though. Slowpoke Tail, though. $1 million per Slowpoke Tail. That's a really expensive meal, too. Like, those must taste delicious.
I mean, if it's $1 million Poke dollars, that's what, like, 100,000 American dollars?
Also, real life business opportunity, make gummy Slowpoke Tails, sell them, Pokemon Company.
Oh, that would be fun.
Right?
They should have did that when they did that Slowpoke music video.
Yeah, it's like the...
It's the strangest thing.
Yes. I mean, there's also a 3DS theme that went with it. And it plays like this really slow Jamaican music in the background.
Mm-hmm. And can we talk about the Slowpoke-based Tumblr they have on the website, on the Pokemon Center website to buy? I
did not.
There's a glass with Slowpoke. Yeah, it's everything.
I'm just
Slowpoke
saying,
gets
that's
good merch.
You could do that. You could totally sell like a gummy Slowpoke tail. Not Slowbro tail, but Slowpoke tail. You could totally do that.
Oh,
just
my
like
God,
the giant gummy
amazing.
Bear.
That is an amazing Tumblr. You guys should go look that up.
PokemonCenter.com is legitimately the best thing ever. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, they have it on a shirt and a binder, too. The same design.
Yeah.
That's great.
PokemonCenter.com, if everything wasn't so expensive, I would buy it all the time. I'm so happy that GameStop is slowly just turning into a Pokemon Center.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just slowly turning into it. Just wait. I'm just waiting. Nintendo will just buy them out. It's fine. Oh my gosh, you have to buy the Slowpoke belt buckle. That's what you have to do. There's the real prize. You have to buy this belt buckle.
Everybody listening right now, stop your car, pull over, whip out your phone, and look at this.
I wish that PokemonCenter.com had like an affiliate link. I would put that all over the place.
Yes. Because all we do is send people there.
Yeah. All right. But that is it for that email. Our next one is going to be from Jedi DJ. And Sublime, you've got this one.
Yes, all right. Hey, Thatch and whoever he has, it's Jedi DJ from down here in the swampland of Florida. I want to write in this week for the mail badge, mail bag. Sorry, that was presumptuous. What type of job would I want in the world of Pokemon? I would definitely want to do something where I could explore, collect Pokemon, and see the world. But you told me that I'm not allowed to be a trainer. I also know that I would not want to teach anyone, so things like a professor are out of the question. I thought about a fisherman, but fishing has always struck me as a cruel activity with the fish hooks and all, so I am leaning towards a bug catcher or a backpacker. But are those jobs? Is there a job where I could go backpacking and collect resources or something? Maybe I could be something like the Repel and Coordinated ad that you guys run occasionally. Anyways, aside from the mailbag, I've been really into all of the competitive episodes you have been doing. I've also been enjoying the Discord chat a lot. Thanks for making Puckle a great place. Best wishes, Jedi DJ.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate that. But I think a bug catcher or backpacker is a job. You could backpack and find things and sell it. You're a scavenger.
I feel like bug catcher could definitely be a job.
Absolutely.
I feel like backpacker is for the children of wealthy parents who are like, I'll take a year off from college.
I mean,
it's fine.
If you talk to my fiance, bug catcher is already a job I have. So, you know,
boom.
It's kind of one of those things.
Done. I bought a cat for that.
Our cat's useless. She doesn't do anything except meow and jingle in the middle of the podcast. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think those are real. You could definitely do it. As for competitive episodes, yeah, we did a couple of really heavy ones a couple of weeks ago, and I know a lot of people came in because of them. But if you want more of that, we are going to be doing not this week, but next week, there will be a Battlecast on the RU tier. So this is where we actually sit down and we'll actually buckle down and talk about a meta in full force and everything we want to talk about and how to improve in that meta. So if you're really interested in that, check out Puckle Plus. You'll be able to find it there. But yeah, anybody you guys want to give the Green Tauros badge to?
I feel like we should give it to you. Every week you sit here and you read these emails. and you never send in an email. So I feel like nominating you for the Green Tauros badge.
Seems fair. Yeah.
Boom. Thatch has won the green. I agree. So it's a unanimous decision. we'll give Thatch the Green Tauros badge and we'll move on.
All right,
on
you got to request the role on Discord.
Yeah, I'll request it. I'll DM myself. And so we're going to go ahead and end the show. Again, if you guys want to email us next week at PucklePodcast.com, let us know what your favorite part of Gen 5 or what your favorite Gen 5 Pokemon is at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. You can, of course, contact us there. If you want to do any other cool stuff with the Puckle Podcast, you can hit us up in a number of different ways. First, you can check out our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit. All of those are on PucklePodcast.com. I just said this, but you can listen to more goodness on the Puckle Plus channel, which is over on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Puckle Plus channel will be there as well. And you can listen to, I believe this week is TCG Cast, and the week after that's going to be Battlecast. It's a good time. You can listen to more Puckly goodness. You can check out our Discord. The invite link is in the show notes, as always. And if you want
if you're a patron,
that's where I was getting
to. Our second episode of Puckle PTU is coming out this Wednesday.
Yep. So definitely check that out if you want to get in on some PTU goodness. All it takes is $1 at patreon.com/PucklePodcast to support the show there. You can also get more rewards if you go to higher tiers. We're going to have a good time there. And if you want to support the show in different ways, you could go to our T Public store and get cool merch, such as a Green Tauros shirt or something like, I don't know. We have some other stuff like Course La Cola. And a bunch of Piddle teams are still up there as well. And some other stuff that I just found on T Public that I thought looked cool. You guys buy anything there, all of that goes and helps out the podcast. So we really do appreciate it. And finally, if you want to check out Jushira and myself on stream, you can check us out at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast on, I believe right now, Wednesday and Friday. Though things are going to start shifting up a little bit because I think we've got Shamu getting added to the mix. And you can check us out there. And if you want to support us there as well, if you have a free, if you have an Amazon Prime membership, you get a free Twitch subscription, which gives us $2, and we really do appreciate that. So I think that's my spiel. And I guess here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Gator.
And I'm Sublime.
And it's closing time. As always, we would like to thank our patrons who help make this show possible. So we'd like to thank Viger, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Andrea, Ilaria, Dr. Shamu, Snag, Dexio, Jushiro, Rotted Mushroom, Jimmy, Ryan, John, Marcus, Claude9, The Beauty and the Geek, John, R Sigma, Doc McStuffles, Jester, and the Golden Klefki, Trevor, TJ, Doc Knox, Jesse, Shambles, Birdkeeper Cobra, Daniel, Trey B, Greg, Alec, Mikey, Ozzy, Jedi DJ Ozzy, or not Ozzy, the British Gent Sparky, Nick Dillon, Shira, Ironcaster, Orange Avenger, Joseph Hazelnut, Michael Thomas, Michael, Curtis Echo, Anime Gravy, Travis Inferno, Alex, and The Real Eevee. Thank you for your support, guys. We really appreciate it, and we hope you guys keep supporting us. We have some awesome, cool stuff coming along the way, so please look out for that. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.